irrelevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Now, me and my wife and my brother Joe took off in my Ford from San Pedro. We hadn't much gas and the tires were low, but the doggone Ford could really go. Now, along about the middle of the night, we were ripping along like
planes. Yeah, we were ripping along in the middle of the night, you and I. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive vetted talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, Wingman XO, and the man second on the con, Joe D.
The guy with the mop.
The guy with the mop is right. And, yeah, we're opening with the good old Scotty Gosson combo, as usual, followed by some good old hopped-up Model A Ford, because...
We're going to be hearing from...
Well, because our man Scotty should be calling us later on today, yes. And he has a lot of history with Model A Fords. But first, someone's anxious. Let's go to the phones and see who's on the line.
Rock and roll.
And say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
It's not the Bronc.
All right. What's happening, Christian?
How you gentlemen doing?
All right.
You know, you had us wondering. We were just talking about that before the show.
Oh, good.
Now, thank you.
Now I can relax my sphincter.
Right. Oh, very good.
What's up?
Talk to us.
Oh, man, you know, I got to see a lot of people last night, unfortunately. It was at the memorial for Jack Merkel.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a smack, yeah. That happened a few days. That actually came across a few days ago. I heard something.
Yeah, it's been, you know, he's been battling a lot of stuff. He was doing fine for a while, actually. I was just at the shop a couple weeks back, and I had an opportunity to get a picture of him too, and it was a perfect shot. I should have, you know, taken the picture, but I also should have gotten a t-shirt and had him sign it too.
Yeah,
you know, because I heard some people were doing that. But yeah, you know, it's just a big chunk out of Long Island. I think after I left there last night, I said, "Man, you know, it's a, you know, local legend, really," and. You know, you just get this feeling like it's just, it's like like the iceberg is melting away off into the waters, you know?
Sure.
Well, yeah. It is. It is, Christian. I mean, that's kind of the you know, I don't want to sound like the Lion King and the essence of life and all of that.
No, but yeah.
Because let's put things in perspective. There's guys like you who are now pulling up the charge and holding up the end of the guys that preceded you.
Yeah.
You know. And you're certainly not the youngest guy out there doing it. You're not the oldest either. But, you know, you're smack dab in the middle, which is, this again, that's kind of the chain of life.
For Generation X for me,
Do us a favor. For the people listening who may not know who Jack Merkel or Merkel Motors was, give us a quick little, brief little history.
I mean, it was, it's a Long Island racer who, you know, basically developed and pioneered what he developed. And I think what I found out last night was, he ran the 33 Willys that set some records. So there's a national record which might have been set at Long Island Dragway back in the 60s. I'm assuming it was 62. I kind of was looking at it last night, but he was like one of the first, I think, to go like an 860.
Wow.
At 135 at a B gas class. And I think he was running a 33 on top with a small block, lone small block. And I think at the time, there's a rotting, he was featured in a lot of magazines because he had the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So he was opening a local shop on Long Island for past, 40 plus years, building race engines for all the local modified guys, boat racing guys to, you know, average hot rodders down to the basic rebuilds and stuff. And I think one of the things he pioneered, I got to research it, but I learned something new last night. I found an article that was there. They had set up he was taking 427 Chevys, and he was decubing them down to a 409.
Oh, okay.
So I'm very interested in learning more about that, because from what I understand, I don't know what connecting rod and all that stuff, but he pioneered that build, and I believe that 33, which exists today, which has been restored, I forget who owns it now, might have been running one of those 409 big blocks.
Oh, very cool.
And that, I don't know if that put it into another level, but he did race everywhere, locally, and there's a lot of photographs. Like, there's a picture, there's a nice black and white photo of him, Stone Woods and Cook with a 41.
Oh, yeah.
With him racing that 33. So, you know, it's a, you know, it's not just like, you know, it's someone who's a racer, but who also pioneered, who also built, wrenched, and owned a business on Long Island.
Which is kind of the way things were back in the day. I mean, that's, you know, everybody was a builder owner, and well, guys started as a builder. The next thing you know, wow, now they own the shops, and now they're a boss. And like, hey, I was just a guy building stuff. Now I have employees.
Yeah. And for him, you know, family, it's a family thing too, because Scott's been running a business, and then, you know, part of the family, like Todd, one of the younger brothers there, he was down in North Carolina. I think he was down there working for Joe Gibbs. So, you know, there's a lot of connection with the racing world, and even in NASCAR, to, you know, roundy rounds. I mean, covered a lot of areas, you know.
Right, right.
So it's just not just a simple shop. It's, you know, a shop that definitely, you know, developed and built and, you know, created and set records, and, you know, it has a lot behind it, a lot of history behind it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's all. Yeah, just, you know, you just, it's like a big chunk, you know, right now, it's like you feel, oh.
You feel the void, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But anyway, and on the brighter side, you know, there was a lot of people there last night. I was actually caught up with, there was Dennis from the Long Island Street Rod.
Okay.
President, he was there yesterday. And I caught up with Dennis from High.
Oh, good.
And I was, you know, hanging at Dennis. Dennis just come down from a NITO meeting up in Newport or something like that. So they got something brewing up with some bikes now coming into the NITO class or whatever. They're running and drag racing all in the, I guess, Jersey, upstate. And I guess they're trying to bring in some fuelers and put something together, I guess. So they're trying to, you know, things are on the up that way, which
That's
is good.
Nice.
Thanks to Dennis, you know. And I learned something about Dennis. We were talking about, I mean, everything was from drag race and roundy round to three-quarter midgets last night. You know, everybody was all talking about all sorts of stuff. And Dennis said that even before he lived on Long Island, I didn't know, he got the race of three-quarter midget in West Hempstead at the arena.
Wow,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, you know.
You know, that's funny because Krishna, our guest, the guy who's going to call right after you today, is from the Mighty Midget Mini Cars Museum in Bellport. We're doing mini cars, Mighty Midget cars today on the show.
Mighty Midget, rubber baby
bumpers. Try to say
Mighty
that three
midget
times.
Mini cars, yeah.
I know, that's tough.
Which is, Marty Himes came up a lot last night, too, because I guess Marty's still doing his thing at the house.
I saw Marty at the Christmas party at the Freeport Auto Wrecking last month, and he's still doing good. He still looks great. He's still kicking, man. The guy's still got a lot of life. Marty was he kind of took a downslide there for a while. He had some personal stuff happen, but he's definitely rebounded and he's back in fighting form, which is very good to see.
That's a good thing, yeah. And I think that's why it's important to get a raceway back on Long Island. So I think not only would the raceway be you know, besides being a track, I think it could become more like, you know, like Indianapolis has a museum right in the middle of the track, you know, and I think it would be just to put a building up and fill it with all the local stuff and all these, you know, people like Marty Hines, all his collection and, you know, stuff like Jazan Backs Coop is out in Riverhead, you know, and I know there's a couple of them that are out there around modifieds that still show up at some of the Long Island Street Rod stuff, you know, and it's just, you know, we could fill a museum here. That could be an admission, that could be, you know what I mean? Like, you know, It's tough, but, you know, we're trying. So.
We need more track housing and condos, though.
Well, more shopping.
More Home Depots and stuff like that.
Yeah more stuff.
Yeah, because some people really, really need to really do what they're doing with their homes.
Right, exactly.
Pretty scary if you ask me, but.
It is.
Anyway.
Anyway, I had some of that, not Crown Maple, but some real authentic maple syrup this morning on my waffle, and I thought of you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I got
to
get me some more of that Crown Maple.
That's to be associated with.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's coming up in March.
Sweet, sappy stuff.
Yeah, we should plan a road trip.
Yeah. Well, you're always road tripping up there. I mean to get up there more than I do.
Very simple. It's very simple.
Okay.
Just got to, as soon as you get the last night of freezing and the trees are flowing, get your butt up there and hit it up.
Now, how do you know when the last night of freezing is, though? That's the thing.
Well, it's a weather thing, you know, and things are, the snow is kind of melting away, and it's like you just watch the news and you say, oh, it's 37 degrees or it's 40 degrees, the trees start flowing, and, you know, you think upstate's like another, usually another couple of weeks behind, so that's when you start preparing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you something, the way we had weather this year, that I have Japanese red maples in front of my house that always drop their leaves religiously at, like, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And they were still red. Now, the leaves, the trees are full leaves, and they're all brown. They didn't drop them because the weather stayed so warm.
It's weird, yeah. It's going to be weird. I can't wait to see what the maple is going to do this year, too. So we'll find out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll keep in touch about that, because that is something I want to do, and my wife wanted to do it as well. So we'll keep in touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So, yeah, that's the end of an era, but on a good note, you know, everyone's got to pick it up and go, and I think people just need to go to, you know, Merkle Race Engines is still going to be there over at the expressway, and I think mm-hmm. Scott's still just going to keep things going, so
good.
People should get out and support, you know.
Excellent.
You know, and that's, even if you're just going there buying a T-shirt or some Joe Gibbs oil or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you
and,
got it.
I'm gonna look into the 409 big block thing because I saw the article and it looked really interesting.
Uh huh. Yeah, let me know what you find on that. I'd like to see some of that information. That'd be
kind of yeah. There's some history there that I learned last night. So I learned something new last night for sure. And you know, it was very interesting to see that because I'm wondering that's why you put that big block in that 33. And
right.
I'm wondering if that's a 409 in it now. It's one of his that motor. You know,
could be. And you know,
so that's a 427 Chevy. D-cubed to a 409.
And that's the thing. Wow. Back in the day, yeah, you go like over square bore or something.
But yeah, it's like high revving big block.
I was going to say, back in the day, that's the kind of thing that nobody talked about because everybody was looking for their own edge and their own secret. So you wouldn't hear about that till 30, 40 years later.
Yeah, so. And the thing is, like, some people be scared, like, oh, what do you mean you're going to cut 125,000 off the deck of my big block Chevy? Would be crazy.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, if you really think about it, it's over square. In the concept, if you a lot of people, you know, short stroke, big bore, it works.
Yeah.
You know,
you could do that because you could take like a hundred twenty-five thousand bore out of a big block Chevy too. So you could you could go either way with those engines. They were nice and thick.
I'm doing a 347 Ford right now. That's a disaster, and it's I learned something new with that too because I had a cast crank in it, and I couldn't figure out the life of me. I found that after I went over to Ace, and I was with back and forth with Bob over there, and we were looking at it, and he's like, it's a 351 crank. And I said, well, how does it fit in a 302? He's like, well, they cut the journals down to a 302 journal.
Oh, wow.
And then so basically you could take a small block Ford, you could have a 351 crank cut down to a 302 journal, run a 3-4 rod with a piston, and you can make it a 347.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Right,
but
right.
It's a little scary at the oil hole, so it's a little hairy of a build, you know. It's kind of not really the best thing to do, but it's doable. And I just think when you get rotatings like that now, you could buy that stuff cheap enough. You just buy the crank that's made for it.
Sure.
You know, because when you cut a crank down like that, you lose the oil hole start to go towards the fillet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you some pictures. You'll see. It's kind of scary.
No, the thing is, though, that unless the guys did that on their own and prototyped it, the big companies could never mass produce it because they'd never take a chance on it. So, you know.
You know, the irony, and before I go, just real quick, the irony is on this 347 that I'm working on right now was built by Jack Merkle, but not Merkle on Long Island, Jack Merkle in New Jersey.
Really?
So there's a Jack Merkle, and that's where some confusion is, too.
Oh, okay.
I learned. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Just to throw another kind of screwball at it. That's cool. Okay.
I would say, dedicate the show today to Jack Merkle.
Got it. Officially
right,
done.
Sounds like a good idea.
Thanks, right, Christian.
Guys.
Talk
you
to you soon.
Thanks
bye.
For calling, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Christian from Mach Modified Motorcycles out in Islip. Check him out if you need any kind of hot rod Harley stuff.
Yeah,
or
good
Japanese
reminder
stuff.
About Mr. Merkle. That was a loss to the racing community.
It is. And before
a lot of people
we,
I know had motors built by him.
Oh,
years.
Absolutely. Before we continue, let me just do this quick thing. You know, just like Merkle's stuff was always in the winner's circle, there's a show here called the winner's circle.
Ah.
You can hear it Wednesdays at 11 p.m. Hosts Vaughn P. and DJ Sparks will transmit an electrifying and energetic vibe for the urban listener, which obviously we're not, but there are a lot of people
ain't
who are.
Awake.
Allow yourself to be captivated by the latest music and, of course, the latest tea on the Winner's Circle on Wednesdays at 11 here at WHPC.
Yeah, stay up for that. Yeah, it's good stuff.
So, yeah, I heard something. I was just listening to a financial show on the way in today, Joe, as we wait for our guest to call.
Right.
And they were saying his his advice to people where cars were concerned was now do not to buy a car, but to lease because of the advances in technology. And I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones and see if we're going to be talking mini cars. And if not, we'll come back to this later. We'll say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yes, hi. This is John Mini Cars.
Yeah, John
from Mighty Midgets Mini Cars.
How are you,
John?
You're talking with Ray and Joe. And we kind of pre-sold
nice
you a little. Tell us what you can. Cram it all in because we're gonna make this an action-packed segment.
Okay. Are we on the air?
You are live, yes.
Okay.
So
well, we are out in Bellport. We're at 287 Station Road in Bellport. We have approximately a 6,000-square-foot building with about 75 cars of all sorts. We have everything from Model Ts to Porsches, Bugatti. We have some Mustang kind of cars and, you know, hot rods and stuff like that, vans, pickups, muscle cars, funny cars, all that kind of stuff. So,
people have to realize these are mini cars. They're not really full size like they might expect. So it kind of catches people by surprise. But, you know, I looked at your Facebook page and some of the, I mean, Joe and I think we agreed our favorite car is that the red 75 Vette.
Yeah, that thing's cool.
It just looks so tough. So what got you into doing this? I mean, what was the impetus to get you where you are today?
Well, I think it started way back when I was a little kid, and I used to watch the kids' programs when they had the little Thunderbird Juniors back in the day, the little promo cars. And then, of course, when I got married and had kids, then I started building them for them, and they grew up, and I didn't.
Good for you. I'm all with you on that one.
I think your first car was the first one you built was for your son, from what I remember reading.
I built one of the first cars for my son Paul. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was how we got started, and then we got to the point where we had about 100 car collection, and then I figured I had to do something with them. So it was either wait till I kick the bucket and have the kids put them in the dumpster, sell them all, or do something. So I decided to open a museum.
So, John, these things are like half-scale cars. So, you know, because there's some people out there who have no idea
what's the definition of a mini car?
What we're talking about. Yeah.
Is there a official definition
of
that?
Now that the Mini is out, the Mini Cooper is out again, that's what people think about.
Right. They're not mini cars in the sense of like a Mini Cooper. They're miniature automobiles in the sense of they're scaled down from approximately quarter scale, which is somewhere between around six feet, and then they go up to around 12 feet, which is a 3/4 to maybe 7/8 size.
Right.
So, and they are motorized. They are drivable. Some are capable of handling, two people, some four people, some single person. But they are gas-powered. Some have motorcycle engines in them. Some have quad motors in them, so we have reverse on them. And some are simply, they have like a tractor engine with a peerless transmission with gives you a couple of gears, forward, neutral, and reverse.
Okay. So you do have options as far as powertrains go with these things, which is kind of nice.
Depending on who's driving. And if you have, these are adult-capable. But children can drive them, depending on what kind of powertrain you put in it. So if you put like a 5 or 10 horsepower Briggs & Stratton or a Tecumseh engine, then you could have a kid drive it. But if you're putting a 500cc motorcycle engine, then obviously you wouldn't want to put your child in there.
Right, right.
Some of these things are capable of doing as much as 70 miles an hour.
Wow.
So you
can actually you build these things for people. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
All right. So now, if someone came to you and said, "Okay, I want this body and whatever," then you start. I guess it's a menu. You have to figure out the powertrain, the brakes. Where do you source out the parts from? Do you have like a yard where you have stuff you can take, or do you like an engine? Is everything brand new and sourced out of a catalog?
Well, a lot of the stuff I make. We make the bodies. I make the frames. We do a little bit of machining. And then, of course, you buy the motors and the wheels. But pretty much it's fabricated from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a limited, supply of bodies. In other words, we can make any body, but, of course, it gets to be expensive if you want a specific thing that I don't have. because then you have to start with a clay mold and all that kind of stuff, like a, you know, okay, like you would build a real car in Detroit.
So you would actually go there and make a like a wood buck and make that clay mold like they do in like what we used to see the designers doing in Detroit.
Right, that's how they're normally made. Right, you start with a wood frame and then you do the clay mold and then go from there. I haven't done, you know, from scratch that far, but that's what some of the guys that I've worked with have done, yes.
What kind of a background do you have to lead you to do that kind of work?
Well, I always had a love for cars, and kind of just grew into, you know, an out-of-control hobby.
Right, right. Well, we love cars, too, but we're not making wood bucks and clay models. So you're a little, you know, everybody has a different level, and that's why I'm curious. You know, it sounds like a design end or a, you know, some sort of a, like you have knowledge above and beyond what a regular car guy would have in that regard.
Well, what happened is when I first started, I was just playing around, and then I, you know, I tried to get into a little more, you know, more involved in it in terms of I learned to do fiberglass work, then I learned to do a little machining, you know, and then I had to do a little welding. It got, you know, when you're doing this kind of stuff, you realize quickly that you have to learn how to do a lot of things, otherwise the cars are going to cost a lot of money, and that's pretty much how I got involved. You know, you do a little at a time. You start with a little fiberglass work, and then the next thing you're doing, you're trying to build a mold, you know, and then you're changing things around and cutting and piecing things together and changing it from one kind of car to another, all that kind of stuff.
So do you have automotive as well as machine shop and woodwork background in your history?
Sounds like
no, actually, I'm a retired school teacher, mm-hmm. But I was actually a music teacher and an administrator. But I just loved cars, so I've always been involved with it. And you know, as I said, what I did was basically is just learned a little at a time, you know, what I needed to know to build the cars, and I just been doing it ever since.
So you basically broke the mold where that stereotype was concerned. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, well, I get a kick out of asking people what they think I did, because most people, especially if I tell them, you know, I was a former teacher, they think it was industrial arts or, you know, automotive or whatever.
Sure.
So you're out in Bellport, which is ways out from us, because we're over here in Garden City, so you're out on the other end of the island. How can people find the museum, and what are the hours?
Well, we have hours on weekends from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 noon to 4. We are open year round. We are on the internet. We have a couple of little pages here and there. We have been on some of the local papers, mm-hmm. and we're doing a lot of word of mouth. I've been doing this, as I said, for a long time. We go to car shows and swap meets, and you know, hand out flyers and stuff like that. But pretty much at this point, we're word of mouth.
And, you know, I'll give you.
Local, we'll try to get the word out for you.
Our advertising.
John, if I can, I'll give you a little piece of advice that worked for us, and it'll make our confidant in Jersey smile very happily. Open a Twitter account. I mean, I wasn't hyped up to do it, but once I did, what happens is when you get involved with other people, like with us, let's say you friend Motormouth Radio, you follow us, and then we follow you. I've done that, and if I follow the right person, the next thing you know, we have like 8 or 10 more followers following us just because we follow this other guy, and it seems like that's the way the world is going with the social media, and if you align yourself with the right people, like we're trying to do.
It networks, it grows, you become linked up with a lot of people.
And it's pretty easy to do. So that's my. And we're at Motor. Just if you want to Twitter us, just look for Motormouth Radio. There we are.
Yeah,
okay,
we're out there.
That sounds really good.
It really is easy. And, you know, and of course, you have kids and grandkids in the family. I know that. So any of them can help you set this up and get it done.
That's why we have kids, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I see your website here. It's Mighty. It's Mighty M1. DGETS.com, right?
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, that's a tough one to sell.
Right, but it's also under Mighty Midgets Mini Cars.
Good. Good, yeah. So that because
both ways. So you can get it both ways. Mighty Midgets Mini Cars comes up with the M1.
If you don't have Facebook or whatever, you could still see the website with there's a lot of cool pictures.
I'm on Facebook, yes.
Yes,
I'm
you
on
are.
The, Mighty Midgets Mini Cars Inc. under the Facebook.
Yep, right. And because some of this stuff is real impressive. One of our listeners wants to know: are any of these cars actually considered street legal?
No, we do not have. They are not street legal. I have had people who have used transporter plates on them and driven them around, but technically speaking, they're not.
Yeah, no, I guess
not really street legal.
It's actually right. More. It would fall more into like that golf cart range than anything. I know, like in certain parts, like in Florida, golf carts are legal to drive on the street in
some towns. Yeah, they're the preferred mode of transportation.
Sure.
Why? A lot of the senior communities have been using these. Actually, I've sold them to people who use them in the senior adult communities. You know, could go back and forth to the clubhouse and to the pool and stuff like that.
Joe, so we should get
and of course they use in parades also.
We should get our order in for a pair of split bumper Camaros.
Get out of my head.
I get my old color, you get your old
get
color.
Get out of my head. Because I was thinking, I'd have a sweat. That's probably the only way I'd be able to get one these
days. Right, you and me both.
So,
well, that's part of how I got started, because the fancy cars back in the day were way too much for me to get as far as cost-wise goes. So I started with these little guys, but now we got to the point where we have cars that are as much as $50,000, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I believe it.
Yeah, wow.
So it gets crazy, and it gets, as you know, out of hand.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any full-size cars in your collection of your own that you dabble with, play, or drive?
Well, basically, I have a Corvette. Yes, I have a 2009 Corvette, which I bought new.
Nice.
So I drive that occasionally. But
that's a lot of fun.
Mainly I'm into the little cars. Okay. I love the mini cars because they're so I can have as many as I want, and I can feel like I'm driving the real thing because they look and feel like you're driving the real car. So it's a great thing. And, of course,
the cost
is a lot less, which is really great.
I just read an article in Auto Restorer magazine, which is one of my favorites, and the guy has a replica, full-size replica, of a 53 Corvette. Of course, first-year car.
Right.
Now, looking at the picture, you couldn't tell this was a replica.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a... It's using like a 2.8 V6 engine and 5-speed transmission.
Right, right.
He says he takes it to shows. He can drive it anywhere. And he says he claims that only really the Corvette guys can tell it's not a real Corvette because it's that damn close.
Oh, you have three less spokes in the hubcap.
But
yeah,
he says, you know,
like that,
he actually found original hubcaps for it, which was good.
But
he said, you know, driving the, those little minutia things. But he said, driving the car, like you just said, John, he feels like he's driving that original car. And plus, it's a lot more dependable, reliable because of modern brakes and suspension and engine, and that's great. It's another facet of the hobby that's, I think, overlooked.
Well, the fun part of this is to try to get the cars as original as possible, and that's where you can make yourself crazy and make yourself broke. You know, the detail is what it's all about. Where you're making digital dashboards, and I've got guys that are
making
parts on the on these new computers so that we can make a whole dashboard so it looks exactly like it's supposed to.
Sure.
And if you saw it in the picture, you'd never know that it was miniature.
Sure. But now again, with laser cutting and with 3D printing, you can do a lot of stuff that you couldn't do years ago that's actually more affordable, you know, as to some of the other fab work.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, possible. That's great. That's excellent. That is cool. So what else do we need to know about Mighty Midget Mini Cars?
Well, as I said, we have basically just about something for everybody. And we have everything from Model Ts, 1910 Fords, to Porsches. We have a Bugatti. We have a Delahaye. We have a couple. We have some Mustangs, a Camaro.
Corvettes,
we have
Willys.
Pickup trucks. Mm. We have muscle cars, funny cars. And they're all in various stages of restoration or build. And people could come and look and get ideas. And if people are interested, they could get involved. We're hoping to get a club started so that we could have people involved and come maybe do some classes here on, how to build a car.
Excellent.
How to get involved.
That's a great idea,
The fiberglass work and some of the machining and that kind of thing.
Do you have people with you there at the museum that either work or volunteer their hours now?
Not at the moment. No,
okay.
Actually, I have had some people that have approached me that have wanted to do that, but we haven't gotten to that stage yet.
Okay,
I'm hoping, as I said, to possibly do some classes and have people maybe come in and do some demonstrations on different kinds of things.
Excellent.
But at this point, we haven't gotten to that stage yet. But
yeah, I would think that on Long Island, just the proliferation of all the Grumman people we had and all the boat. People we had, the boat builders and woodworkers.
There's a big pool of skilled people out there,
absolutely. And a big school of those people's kids who kind of fell into it in one way or another that, you know, that, that keep that stuff going. So that's good, John. We wish you much success into the future with that, and we look forward to keeping in touch with you on your upcoming project.
And we're going to start saving up for that.
Thank you for having me on the show, and I appreciate it, and I would like to invite you to come out and see the museum when you have a minute.
Excellent.
Sure.
We will put together, we'll see what our schedules allow, and we'll get back to you.
Together a field trip.
I'll let you know ahead of time, and then we'll put something together, sure.
Terrific. Thank you very much, and have a great day and a great year.
Okay,
thanks,
John.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
So long. All right, that was John Cerrito from Mighty Midget Mini Cars. Boy, I can't say that three times fast. Out in Bellport. And what we're
saving up for my Mini Camaro now. I'm going home. I'm going to open up a new piggy bank there.
I know, right? So let's take a break, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. We should be speaking with the guy who made our promo, Mr. Scotty Gossin. When we come back, I'll send him. We'll get in touch with him, let him know to call. And now, you know, you drive your cars like you drive the Camaros, and you got to put gas in them. It's expensive. Mini cars don't cost nearly as much. Let's let Jerry Reed tell us how we get around that, because that was one of the things that always bug us when we go out for a cruise. More Motor Mouth Radio when we come back. Keep it where you got it.
Well, now listen, people, let me tell you some news. I sing a song called the Crude Oil Blues. We're low on heat and on, we're low on gas. And I'm so cold, I'm about to freeze myself. We got the Crude Oil Blues.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And, of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, this is the Donut Man, and I'm here to talk to you about donuts.
Donuts.
Sorry, Homer, not edible donuts. I'm talking about audible delights that'll satisfy your desire for hip-hop in its purest form.
I'd sell my soul for a donut.
As I was saying, Donuts on WHPC features MCs and producers from the Golden Ages to the underground back to present day here at Donuts.
Yes! Yes! Oh, God, yes!
Glad I could win you over, Homer.
And that's my cue to exit.
Listen to Nassau Community College's hip-hop sovereign, Donuts, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Mama, don't forget to bring in the brass monkey.
All right, along with the Brass Monkey, back with Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, and Jerry Reed. We got another call. Let's see who we got. Motor Mouth, hello, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths. I almost heard.
Hello, Motor Mouths. Thanks for taking my call. Took you right now. Car don't run at all. Yay.
Wow. We just got sung in by parts of the Scotty Gossin combo live from Medford, Oregon. Scotty,
whoa.
How are you?
I'm just right. How are you guys?
Excellent. Hey. That was a very nice little lead in there. I wish.
Very impressive.
That was just dandy, wasn't it?
That's cool. So
doesn't happen enough.
Yeah. So what's going on out in Medford these days? How are the Oregonians?
Ray, the situation out here is dire. So we're accustomed to a lot of dark clouds and rain, and for some reason we have sunny, warm day this morning. I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it.
You know,
you could ship it on over this way.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. We had Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars in Springfield, Oregon, on the radio show in December, and then we had him on the Plane and Traffic internet show on Thursday night. And I mentioned to him, I said, hey, Mark, how's the weather in Oregon? I said, I know it's typically pretty rainy. He says, oh, yeah. He goes, you must know someone out here if you know that. I'm like, yeah, our good friend Scotty gives us the weather report all the time. I said, Scotty is kind of like an unofficial weatherman. And if you grew up in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
You can take that two ways.
That's right. Good point.
Except you don't get the stuff you blow up is motors and stuff.
Right.
What was that, Joe?
Yeah, that was me. I said the stuff that you blow up is motors and stuff, not the other stuff.
Right.
Like exactly. Yeah. We just blow up motors.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you, I just got the news about Jack Burkle yesterday. So
yeah.
I was pretty late on this stuff. Usually when a famous drag racer dies, they'll call me right before they're ready to drop and alert me to start their obituary.
Oh,
you know?
God, yeah.
But somehow I missed that with Jack. I'm very sorry.
Yeah. And I tell you, well, as per Christian, this show is dedicated to the memory of Jack Merkel. But I tell you, back on your blog, when you were doing your blog, which was world class, Scotty Gossin Exposed at blogspot.com, you did cover quite a lot of births, deaths, weddings. You covered a lot of social stuff on there, which was fantastic.
You chronicled the whole thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like working for the local newspaper or something.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Well, yeah, I used to call you Perry White because you'd give me assignments, and I'm like, yes, chief.
Call me chief.
Yeah.
God. Okay.
But I know that you've kind of transitioned, and now Facebook has become the new Scotty Gossin blog. And I know that because my wife is, because she has the Facebook account, and I signed up on her account for, you know, to follow you.
Right.
And she's
right,
like, look here, look what Scotty's doing now. I was like, it was like a picture of a guy with a cat head the other day. It was this giant cat's head. I was like, ah!
I think, you know, they say Facebook is for old people, and it's about the last computerized, digitized thing I can manage, and I'm barely managing it.
Well, that's okay. You're doing a very good job. You are.
I'm just having fun.
Oh, absolutely. So speaking of having fun, what's the state of the Scotty Gossin combo these days?
Ray, the Scotty Gossin combo has assembled right here in my apartment this morning.
Oh,
all band members are present, which means that's myself and Rob James, our producer and co-conspirator.
Uh-huh.
And we just had a breakthrough with a friend helping us get stuff online, so we're going to have our albums up for sale online here pretty soon on createspace.com and amazon.com.
Nice.
You can already get our older albums, and we just finished our third album, and the fourth and fifth are coming out soon, which includes our special Razzle Dazzle Christmas album that will blow you away.
Absolutely.
That sounds cool.
And all people have to do is go back a couple of weeks on this show to hear we used your music for our intros and outros. It was from the older album.
I can't thank you enough for that. That's such a rush to turn on the radio and hear my song on it.
Well, if listening on this show and hearing your stuff gives you a rush, you're a man of cheap thrills, I'll tell you that.
That's me, Mr. Cheap Thrills.
Exactly. Exactly.
So today I have Rob here with me.
Hi, Rob.
And hi, Rob. I'll let you say hello to him. Rob's the guy who, he's like on The Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. That's Rob. His job is to push buttons and turn knobs.
Yeah.
And you guys might be able to relate to that.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. What's his, his position in the band?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
What's up, man?
I'm doing good.
Scotty tells us that you're the motor mouth in the bunch.
Yeah, that's what he'd like to think. he writes the lyrics.
Well, yeah, no, I think you talk a lot. Now, you're the drummer, correct?
Yes.
Excellent.
That's true.
Excellent. How is it working with a small well, you've been in music for a while. This isn't your first gig, right?
Nope.
So how long have you been playing? Have you been a long time? Or
Ray is a drummer, too. I've been playing since I was about 15, and I'm 51 now.
There you go. Okay. Very good. Very good. So, you know, Scotty, knowing Scotty the way I do and finding out that he was so involved with, like, folk-style music, that's out here, that's not too mainstream, unless you hang out in Greenwich Village, I guess.
I was about to say, you got to go down Manhattan for stuff like that.
Yeah, unless it's the 60s, you know. But so what's your proclivity to that type of music? Because you guys do it like a nice little mix, though. I call it like funk, it's kind of like
fun,
folk.
Yeah, basically fun.
Folk, country, kind of Americana.
Eclectic.
Is what I like to call it, yeah.
Eclectic.
Well, I'm a jazz player, and Scotty, he does a lot more folky And for some reason, they mesh together, and it seems to work out real good.
Yeah. You got some good mashups. Some of the songs really kind of, you know, I hear all that stuff. I can hear the, sometimes on the changes, you'll catch a little bit of a, just a little nuance, and it's like, very cool. And that's what I love about local music. It's the stuff that you don't get to hear that's, you know, shoved down your throat by the majors. It's what guys are really creating, which I think is great. But so where do you see the combo going into the future, Rob?
We're just going to go as far as we can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what the people are going to think, but we just keep putting out stuff the way we want to do it, and we're just hoping they take to it.
Okay, that's good. So you guys, where do you typically play out there in Medford? Where do you get out to the people?
We do a few private shows and, you know, a couple of big gatherings on property and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just pretty much wherever people will have us.
Right, right. That's cool. That is very cool.
That's pretty cool. You don't have to have the chicken wire in front of the band, right?
No.
When you play, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're behind the band.
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be taken two ways. Yep.
Yeah, I've never had the fortune to be out to Oregon, but I kind of pick up the vibe that it's kind of like a more of a laid back kind of atmosphere where that kind of stuff goes over well. You know, it's
that
is
people
good.
Don't hear a lot of, you know, like you say, it's kind of a unique style, and people take a second look.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Do you just on another note, do you cross over into Scotty's other world of cars and hot rods at all?
Not as much as I probably should to be in a situation like this.
Okay. Have you dabbled with cars at all? Do you do any mechanical stuff? Is that kind of in your DNA or no?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That's
so cool. just the basic stuff, maintenance kind of thing, or are you?
Well, Scotty's a mechanic, and he can put stuff together. I go in there and try to troubleshoot the wiring and the electrical and see, you know, where something isn't making its route.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's, hey, you need to do it all. You know, you have to have all of those tools. Now,
there's usually a wire guy and a wrench guy. Yeah, okay, makes sense.
Now, back to the combo. You guys have a female bass player.
Yes, we do.
How did you know? Now, you know, I've seen a few actually in my where I work. There is the secretary in our office is a female, and she is a bass player. So you don't see too many of them. So I always take notice when I find them. What's her history? How did she fall into the bass?
Well, we pulled her in for vocals, and we found out she had this other talent.
Oh, okay.
And it just seemed to fit right into her style.
That's great. That is great.
That's definitely cool. Yeah, bass play. Let's face, you know, bass players and singers. You know, there are a lot of famous bass players were singers too.
Except not for you.
Not
Joe is a bass player, but not a singer.
Actually, I was.
Oh, you were. You were.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the windows in the gym blew out.
Yeah, that was one excuse we used. Yes.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's something else. That is very cool. So, what are you guys working on now, Rob? What kind of stuff are you playing around with in the studio?
Well, we're pulling some archives in from the past, some stuff that may have already been pre-recorded, and we're making some adjustments and remixing some of it and trying to get it onto another album and try to show people what happened before we started this project.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. Of course, you know, I've never had a chance to talk to you, but I thank you as well, Scotty, for making that our promo for us, which was basically Drag Strip Rumba off the Surfing the Asphalt Playground album with the lyrics.
That gets a lot of compliments. You know, when people talk to me about the show, you know, in real life, and they they made you guys a song. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
The Scotty Gosson Combo did it for us. Yeah. See, we're immortalized there.
Yeah.
And it's well complimented that people like that.
Right on. We'll get some more to you.
Oh, that'd be cool. Of course, on Nitro Martini.
Fantastic.
That's another one I have a copy of, is Nitro Martini, which is pretty cool. There's a lot of good stuff on there. I like to, you know, I want to play more of the stuff, but usually when I do intros and outros, I look for something that starts with a kick, just starts off with a bang. Like on the one, it's got to be boom, right there. And your stuff starts with a folk guitar. I'm like, oh, damn. All right. Come on, guys. Kick it up. Get a banjo or something.
Well, I'll set off an explosive right at the beginning.
Oh, there you go.
That works.
Yeah, that'll work.
Hey, I like it.
That fits right in.
Yeah, maybe a little motorcycle revving, something like that.
Yeah.
Explosive works, too.
Like Motley Crue, right?
Yeah.
Good, girls.
Good scream, you know?
Yeah.
We're cheap dates. We're easy to please.
So, as a drummer, Rob, who did you follow or emulate through history? Who are the guys that you liked and looked up to?
Well, I started up off listening to progressive bands. You know, I'd be listening to the radio and hear something that's out of the ordinary, and it turned out to be a band called Rush.
There you go.
Yeah, Neil Peart. Caught up in that for 20 years.
Hell
Neil
yeah.
Peart, the only guy who can play in like four time signatures at the same time.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, I watch him now. I watch videos, and he has such a stiff-wristed style, which doesn't sound like what you hear. And, you know, I'm a classically trained drummer. I learned, you know, the guy who's teaching me to drum made me stop bowling. He goes, because at the time,
screw up your wrist.
He says your wrists will get stronger and stiffer because you need to have really loose fluid wrists.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, and that was the thing. And then I watched Neil Peart and say, my God, how does he make that sound? With the, you know, with that style.
But all those guys ain't human, so it's okay.
I was just watching some Buddy Rich and Jerry Lewis drum thing the other day on YouTube, and Buddy Rich was one of my idols growing up. I mean, he was just the guy, you know. Guys hitting stuff with his elbows because his hands are going so fast. You know, it's just, geez.
Yeah.
Funny stuff. But, well, that's cool. Anybody else? Any other influences that you've had as you were growing up or currently?
You know, I listen to a lot of jazz stuff too.
Gene Krupa,
you know, Little Weather Report.
Okay. Oh,
and, you know, that kind of style stuff that would get out of the mainstream a little bit.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's some sophisticated stuff as opposed to some of us who just hit there and hit three chords and try to make windows blow out.
You know, coming
like
up into the modern age, Dream Theater, a guy like Mike Portnoy, when he was with the band, a fantastic jazz drummer.
Yeah.
You know, he has a kit.
Was.
He has like almost like an Alex Van Halen kit that he plays with when he blues with Dream Theater. But I saw him on a couple of venues where he played with just a little jazz kit. And I said, okay, what's
yeah.
he do? And he made a little jazz kit sound just like that because it was the talent. He just had the ability. And
Yeah.
Yeah, another great guy. So it's... Yeah, there are plenty of influences out there. That's cool. That is very good. Ah, very excellent. Excellent. So where's our guitarist?
What'd you do with Scotty?
Get him out of the closet.
Bring him back.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, you guys.
All right.
Yeah,
we'll
appreciate it. That was good. We got a little music in there, you know.
Hello, test. 1-2, test.
Yes. Guys? You are live.
1-2.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty.
You're back. Okay, good. Got the game cranked. Okay. No distortion, though.
Yes, the game is cranked. I was helping the neighbor with an oil change, but I'm back now.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to drag you away. You got the oil back in the motor, right? Or did you
most of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, good. Yeah. Otherwise,
thanks for having us on, guys. I wanted to tell you that... You know, you had asked Rob about what we're working on now, and when we finish this anthology album and the other one we're working on right now, then we're done, and so we're going to devote our time exclusively to make it like little promos like we did for you guys.
Oh, excellent.
And we're going to make mostly just for you guys.
So okay.
You'll be getting a lot of stuff.
Well,
we are duly complimented.
Yeah, and we will definitely use it because that's cool stuff. And like, you know, Scotty, that's the beauty of it. You being in the automotive world as long as you have, you definitely hit the mark. It's legit when you do it, and it fits right into what we do, so it's a perfect fit. And again, we thank you and Rob.
Like it, yeah.
Yeah, we thank you guys for doing that for us. That was very very nice, and we really that's like the high point of our show. It's the high point of the show. It starts the show every week.
There you go.
We just have a blast doing that stuff.
Excellent. Very good.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Scotty.
All right, guys. We'll
let you run. Keep us in touch with what's going on. I'll keep bothering you with my stuff, emailing you with all sorts of crazy stuff, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, it's mutual. I'll keep sending you my crazy stuff. We'll be fine.
10-4.
Cool. We'll see you on Facebook too. Yeah, we see your blog on there. So yeah, we'll definitely be reaching out and touching each other there electronically, of course.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Ray and Joe.
All right, hey, Scotty. Thanks
Take
a lot,
care.
Brother. All right.
You bet.
Bye bye. That was Scotty Gossin from the Scotty Gossin Combo out in Bedford,
and the rest
Oregon.
Of the combo too. Let's
and
not forget
the rest
of the
combo too.
Yep.
We're going to take another break, Joe, and then we'll talk about some. We'll get back to whatever it was I was talking about earlier. And on WHPC Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, 516-572-7440. When we come back, let's hear. We're going to talk about. I was going to talk about something else, but you know what? Let's do this, and we'll come back in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it.
Run, a run, a do run, run, whoa, run, a run, a do run, run, whoa, run, a run, a do run, run, whoa.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul, mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, everyone. This is Bob Petrowski, better known in WHPC circles as New York Polka Bob. Maybe you're trying to get back to your roots, or maybe you're just tired of the same old top 40 songs. If you're looking for something new, something different, something to help you forget your troubles for a moment, then maybe the Polka Beat Ukrainian Melody Time is the place for you. Polka Bob every Monday night at 8 p.m. bringing you the best in polkas, Ukrainian melodies from yesterday and today. Maybe you'll hear something your grandma used to sing, or maybe you'll hear something that's a pop tune that's gone polka style. That's Polka Beat, every Monday night at 8 p.m., the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Also available on the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, we're polka crazy, car crazy, we're all sorts of crazy. Ray Guarino.
Just friggin' nuts, come
right.
on.
Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio, let's go back to the phones.
To the flashy thing.
And say hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Vic, how
What's
are
going on,
you?
Man?
All right, the Willys has a 427 in it.
Okay.
All right.
It's up in Chicago at a museum with the guy, all he has is gases, altered, funny cars, and old rails.
Not, have you been to the museum?
No, but I know about the car.
Okay,
The car was painted at Merrick Collision, and there's still metal flake in the air about 5 years later.
Nice.
The car after Jack Merkel sold it, went to Wantour, where I almost bought it for $3,500. Then it went to Merrick Road in Lindenhurst, where it was going to be painted black and get a V6 Chevy as a street rod.
Oh, well, back up an owner. Why didn't you buy it?
Because I went to look at the 59 Vet that was in an accident that had a really, really strong 327 four-speed in it.
Okay.
So that car happened to be just next to it.
Oh, I got it.
The trunk lid fell off it while they were towing it, but they got it back, and my friend actually had the parachute for it. Vinnie Musicaro did the rebuild on that car.
Okay.
Everything is correct right down to the wires. The colors of the wires.
Oh, boy. That's cool.
Jack hated that car. It's the only car he didn't win with.
Well, that'll do it, yeah.
Yep. And the car, then it went to Huntington, sat in a body shop for about 10, 15, 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that car has never made a pass since it's redone, and it won't make a pass since it's done.
Yeah, you never know the stuff that's sitting right in
There's
your own back.
There's a twin to that car that's in Seaford.
Okay.
I'm not speaking. My mistake.
All right.
Yeah. They made two of them, and the funny thing was back then, you couldn't box the chassis on those cars, only where the roll cage went.
Why was that? Was that
That was a rule.
Wow.
That was a rule. That car did not have a posi in it, neither.
You got
both tires hooked.
Wow, you gotta wonder about silly stuff like that, huh?
Yep, because Jack Merkel did a thesis on rear suspension.
Okay.
On torque arm. Not a Fun City Hauler. The Fun City Hauler was the first car to get it.
Of course,
and you loosen the rear suspension for the leave.
Right, right. Okay.
So basically, the rear wheel would stay on the ground and the body would go up, basically.
Right.
That's how that was.
It would lever the body, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And, of course, the upward force, every force has an equal and opposite force, so the upward force transmits down, and that's
right.
How you get traction. Right.
Yep. Yep.
Very good. What's up with the fire department build?
Looked at it yesterday. Got to do a lot of, really got to fabricate a lot of stuff. There's nowhere to put the booster that's going, the pedals are way up in the air, so I got to lengthen the pedal, bring it forward, and bend it now, because it's going to change the throw on the brake now, on the clutch.
Sounds like what's going to happen to your Gasser project.
Nah, that's all right.
That's another
that's
one.
Just nothing.
That's another one that didn't look like it had a place for the booster to go.
Well, that's we'll figure that out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're running a hydraulic clutch in both. We're going to run hydraulic clutches in them.
Okay.
Because the Z-bar, it's just be pain in the ass on mine. And on the C-rig, the steering column's in the way. So hydraulic clutch is the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah, we got the exhaust. It's going to work. It's going to be a pain, but it's going to work. It's just a lot of work. You know,
oh, sure, sure.
Something like that can't buy out of the box.
Does,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
When nobody does it, it makes it interesting. That's all.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, when it gets done at your place, it's being done out on the icy ground, not in a warm, climate-controlled shop.
No, the C-rig's actually turned sideways in a three-car garage. So.
Wow, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait
yep.
a minute. Not at your place.
Cross Street.
Oh, okay. Good, good, good.
My cousin's, the garage I built him.
Right. I knew it couldn't have been at your house. And I only know that, not that it couldn't physically fit. I know that you couldn't have cleaned it to that degree since the last time I was there that much. So there's that. Okay.
Like I said, I need a magnet to go in there. And what sticks, you know, gone, yeah. Bye. You know?
Yeah, remove the roof, magnetize it, put the roof back, done.
Yeah,
that's cool. Oh, very good.
Yeah, you can't get rid of stuff. You know how hard it is.
I know.
You
know? It sticks to your hands, I know.
Because as soon as you dump it.
I threw away a radiator support about 4 years ago, and I still think about it now and then.
Wow, I know.
It's, you know.
Yeah, you keep yourself square in the butt. Yeah, as soon as it's gone, give it a month, and either you're going to need it, one of your friends is going to need it really bad, or you're going to see somebody who will pay you top dollar for it. And now yep. it's rotting away someplace.
Yep.
Hey, oh Joe, you can actually do me a favor.
Talk to me.
When you go to the UD.
Yeah.
And Teddy's there. He's got a piece of chrome for me from a seat.
Teddy.
Teddy Pontiac.
Oh yeah, the two door the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's got it's in his car. He's driving around with it. You can grab that and give it to Ray.
Jeez, I was just talking to him yesterday.
Yep.
Okay.
I
yeah.
just don't get a chance to go there.
Yeah,
oh. For me, it's not around the corner.
Right.
Nah, yeah. It's a little bit of a trip. Yeah, but I'll be glad to.
It's a good reason to get a good piece of pizza, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Good pizzeria right. outside of there, yeah.
yeah.
All right, we'll take
mm-hmm.
it. We'll put that together.
The Greek joint up on Northern.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. The gyro place? Yeah, the shop ordered lunch from there quite a bit, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's good, but the heartburn later on, you know?
So it melts the ice really good.
Hey, you know the way I look at it, Vic? You ain't going to get a heartburn when you're dead, so you might as well enjoy it now.
There you go.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, there's
wise
no
words.
Big thumbs in the box, you know?
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, I know you're getting close, so I'll yep. let you guys go.
All right, Vic, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, Vic.
Talk to you soon. Bye. All right, always good to hear from Vic.
The UD, yeah. So I know. Well, you know the car he's talking about, that two-door, that Pontiac wagon.
I was wondering which one. I wasn't quite sure which Pontiac. Oh, the old, the 55 or 6. Yeah,
yeah,
the one that looked like it had the one with the taillight missing looks like a 55 Chevy.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, got it. I know exactly. That's the green and white?
It's gray and white.
Gray
days,
and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must have had a filter on that night. Okay.
Well, no, you never know because it's like okay, it's a small world. Somebody from the island knows the UD. You know, that's
oh,
pretty
yeah.
good.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably see him later on with any luck. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Cool.
All right. That's cool.
So wow, we pretty much fried. Not even burned. We pretty much fried another hour.
Yeah. We're going to be working on some our future guests. I have I put a couple emails out to get some guys back. We're going to be dealing with have Carl Anthony on from automobleblog.net.
Yes.
If you want to check out the preultimate source of automotive news, automobleblog.net is the place.
It is packed with all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I took that look you gave me and bounced around it. You know, car reviews, automotive news
right.
from the industry. A lot of stuff. You want to know about what's going on in the car world today? That's a good place at least to get a nice chunk of it, you know?
You know, I can bring that up with Carl because that was the thing I was saying before, how the financial experts were saying people aren't going to buy, they're going to lease, especially where electrical vehicles are concerned now with,
sure.
again, with technology marching forward. And again, we've talked about it because of repair issues and retrofitting. And they said it just doesn't, you know, he's recommending his people lease, not buy.
We're going to have to quiz them on that. Definitely, we're going to have to put that that post-it note next to the hot light when we get him on here.
Yeah, we'll talk to Carly. This was the guy I was listening to was Josh Jelinski. He's a financial expert here on New York Radio, but you can look him up.
That should be very informative. I can't. That should be a good one.
Yeah. So we'll take it up with Carl when we get him. And that just may be next week. I don't know. We haven't. Again, you know, sometimes the guests don't fall until Saturday or whatever. But until then, stay tuned. Listen to Kim Tracy do the best of Bruce Springsteen on Thunder Road, and we're going to get the heck out of here and go. I got to go return a hard drive. So keep it where you got it, and we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Bye.